welcome to the PureMed podcast special series, Behind Diagnosis Patients. My name is Leah Sarah Pure, and I am your host. Behind Diagnosis Patients aims to uplift patient voices to share their insight and experiences navigating the healthcare system. It welcomes everyone from patient advocates, the chronically ill, the disabled, and those with rare diseases to offer suggestions for a more equitable world. On this episode, I'm pleased to welcome Ella Balassa, our guest speaker, who is diagnosed with cystic fibrosis at 18 months old. Having a biology background, she is a patient advocate for the development of novel therapies for the treatment of antibiotic-resistant infections, including phage therapy, as well as speaking publicly at conferences, meetings, and to companies about the value of the patient voice in research. Ella serves as a member of research committees with various organizations and is a director for the U.S. Adult Cystic Fibrosis Association. She also has a passion for writing about her health experiences, distilling clinical information for patient communities, as well as introspectively writing about the hardships yet triumph that comes with living with a chronic illness. She has been published on MedPage Today, the HuffPost, and Pulmonary Therapy Journal, to name a few. Through opportunities working with healthcare organizations and sharing her journey through writing and speaking, she aims to affect the healthcare landscape to promote self-advocacy to patients and valuable insights to organizations. Today, Ella, we are here for you. For you to tell your story in a way that communicates the good and the bad of our healthcare system, your concerns and suggestions for a more equitable world. So I'd like for you to take it away and tell us about yourself, your story, and what inspired you to become a powerful patient advocate.
Thank you so much for having me, Leah. I really appreciate it. I would first just like to say that I'm so in awe of the incredible work that you are doing as part of this organization and this podcast in uplifting the patient voices, the physician's perspective, and all other stakeholders. So thank you again for all you're doing and for having me on here. And so I'll first start off and really from the beginning. I was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when I was 18 months old, and CF is a genetic lung disease, and it's characterized by the buildup of mucus in the lungs because of the improper functioning of cells in the lungs. And so this mucus over time breeds infections, lung infections that require a lot of antibiotic use. And then over time, it does deteriorate. The cycle of inflammation and infections deteriorate lung tissue, and then result in lung function decline, and then ultimately respiratory failure and a shortened life expectancy. So I, since really growing up, since childhood, I've experienced a lot of hospitalizations, a lot of getting these intravenous antibiotics to treat these infections quite often. So I've had a lot of experiences with physicians, with doctors, with the healthcare system. And over time, it has built my ability to navigate these interactions with my healthcare teams, with researchers, with other healthcare stakeholders. And I didn't really know that I was going to end up in patient advocacy, or I didn't really think that was going to be my calling. Growing up, I actually wanted nothing to do with medicine. I was always a science nerd. I did really enjoy learning about science and biology and all the workings of the world and on a really small scale. And but I knew that I never wanted to be a doctor. I was too, I guess, traumatized truly by so many hospital experiences and getting poked and prodded as a child and growing up. And but I, like I said, I really enjoyed science. So I wanted to, I pursued a degree in biology in college, but And subsequently, I worked in environmental labs, so where I tested water levels for different contaminants and for bacteria, actually bacteria levels. And then after some years, this is just really, so I'm 29 years old, and this was, I would say maybe in the last five or so years, after I graduated. So in working in this lab, some of the work we did had an intersection with my disease, in that the bacteria that we were analyzing, we were looking at their antibiotic resistance levels in the river near, in Richmond, where I live, Richmond, Virginia. And so this, when we were looking at these antibiotic resistance levels, I realized that some of the bacteria that we were isolating from the river are commonly found in the lungs of those with cystic fibrosis. And I thought it was just so interesting. And that I could, that as a patient, I could, you know, have these experiences and then also see the other side, like understand the research side and the whole world and where that comes from and yeah, the world of research. And so I really became interested in how, kind of as you said, what the value of bridging the patient understanding with, you know, what is going on behind the scenes, what is happening in research, what is happening in healthcare overall, and just broad, you know, improving healthcare literacy for patients. And so I, in that work that I was doing there, we were doing more like public health, you know, outreach as far as like what can these environmental factors, these bacteria in the water, what can we inform the public about, you know, why that's so important. And then that kind of translated into me really feeling like, you know, it's important for the patients to know, of course, public as well, but specifically patients, for them to better care for their own health and to move, you know, to advance their own care and the healthcare of all. So then I became involved with a couple of research committees and other volunteer committees with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation here in the United States. And I was, as a patient voice, I participated on committees involved in protocol reviews for new clinical trials. I'm a part of, and still am, on many of these committees, but these are what really started my advocacy. And on another committee involving giving feedback on what the patient needs are in what areas to focus research in for cystic fibrosis, for their funding, you know, where we felt as patients that there were gaps in new treatments available and where there were gaps in research and knowledge where we need to improve upon. So in a lot of these opportunities, I was able to converse with researchers, with cystic fibrosis staff, with clinicians, with other patients, and really just expand my experience within this realm, and my comfortability also in relaying my experience, my opinion, as a patient who, you know, maybe isn't the most knowledgeable on the field of specifically of, you know, as much as some of these physicians in cystic fibrosis, even though I live with it, which then takes me to another point that as somebody with this lived experience, you know, we have a whole different understanding of our conditions than a physician, than a researcher would. They see it from a completely different side. And bringing those experiences together and that understanding and that knowledge is how, you know, research and just healthcare is truly advanced in the best way possible. So in the last couple of years, I have also been able to, because of these experiences, because of my comfortability with connecting with doctors, researchers, I actually pursued an experimental therapy for myself. This was in 2019. I became very sick with one of these lung infections that I have constantly battled throughout my life. And this infection wasn't responding to antibiotics at all. I was very sick. I was on oxygen, supplemental oxygen, 24/7. My breathing was at 18% lung function, which, if you can imagine, most people have 100, and that's average. So I was definitely on the brink, I would say, of close to respiratory failure. And I had no options. I had no idea what I was going to do. And I had just stumbled upon, I do some writing also in my free time, and also writing about my health experiences. And I've written on a couple of health topics and had those published. So I was contacted by a company who was asking if I might write a little synopsis of what living with CF is like to accompany a documentary that they were creating about a patient that was treated with this experimental therapy called phage therapy. And so I had maybe heard of this term before, but really not much. So I watched this video before it was released so that I could get an understanding of, you know, what it was about that I might add my perspective to as far as living with CF. And I was just blown away. This patient in Texas was being treated with phage. It was experimental. It's not an FDA approved therapy, but nonetheless, at that time I was so ill that I knew that I needed something. I needed to try this. And so I contacted those researchers. I really facilitated the entire process myself. My physician here, my cystic fibrosis physician, really didn't play a major part in that. He, of course, I discussed it with him, but you know, he was like, well, there's no evidence, there's no proof that this is going to help. So I don't know that I recommend this for you considering your dire situation. And I just knew that I had no other options. These antibiotics that I was on, I was completely resistant to all of them. The bacteria in my lungs were completely resistant. So I traveled to Yale University. I received this therapy. Ultimately, it did help to clear that infection. And I don't think I'd be here today with my native lungs, you know, telling you this story, because I think I would have certainly needed a lung transplant at that point if I wouldn't have had this therapy. And so ever since that experience, it really opened my eyes to, you know, truly what it meant that I, as a patient, was able to take on that responsibility, but also that interaction to connect directly with researchers, to understand, to be able to weigh the pros and cons of what getting this therapy would mean for me. And I made the decision myself to get it. And of course, you know, having my background has certainly helped in, you know, me being able to achieve this and to facilitate this happening. But it just made me think that if only all patients could be more informed, could have more empowerment to make these decisions, to pursue this sort of care, not necessarily trying experimental therapies, but just overall to make decisions to improve their care, how much better, you know, how much more possibilities there could be for patients, how much better, you know, how many more possible avenues there might be that are undiscovered. And so I think, so since then, I've shared about this experimental therapy. I've become really an advocate for pushing for novel therapies for treating antibiotic-resistant infections, whether that's, you know, those with CF who have these infections in the lungs, whatever else kind of infections that people get that are antibiotic-resistant, because frankly, we are running out of antibiotic options. And so, you know, become an advocate for this field and in pushing for novel therapies, because I think that it's so, so important. And I've written on a number of pieces, written articles related to this, and spoken at a number of conferences, the FDA and the Milken Institute, a couple of other platforms as well, and also at congressional webinars, just really trying to push for better collaboration between policy, pharma companies, researchers, just as a holistic way, just bringing all of them together. And really just in the last year or so is when I've established myself more as a professional advocate and, you know, directly working with healthcare companies, pharmaceutical companies on how they can better engage the patient perspective into their work so that we can advance healthcare the best we can. So that sums it up.
That's great. I want to see how you so beautifully fit in and are the mediator to translate patient experience into healthcare knowledge, and you fill in the gap that is often there between providers, pharmaceuticals, and patients. And I think your role is crucial to the process in order for us to improve and better healthcare overall. So now we'll go into asking you a few of the questions, and the first one I have for you is, what matters to you when interacting with health professionals or undergoing invasive exams? What matters to you as a patient?
What matters to me most is the physicians or the care person or the healthcare workers' disposition towards care for me. You know, if that is a warm, genuine, and empathetic connection, you know, I think I definitely feel that. I think anybody feels that when somebody truly wants to understand the other, to care about their well-being, that's when I think strong and trusting connections are formed. And I think trust is such an important part of healthcare between patients and those that are caring for patients. And I think to build that trust, having these genuine, honest, and empathetic qualities and interactions is what makes a better healthcare experience. And so I think that that is, you know, and some are just, you know, some individuals have more of those qualities than others just at a baseline. Obviously, compounded with the fact that, you know, healthcare workers are, they're busy. There's a lot of patients to see. There's a lot of things to do. It's very stressful. And some of that can get lost, you know, when you are occupied with so many things going through your mind, you know, some of that, let me be present right now with this patient, that gets a little lost and it is forgotten. But I think just keeping that in mind is really goes a long way, and it makes such a difference to patients, I think.
Absolutely. And I think you iterated a good point there that when you're so busy, especially when we had the COVID-19 pandemic hit and there was an increasingly amount of providers that had to be at the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic, seeing patients, treating, and we had our hospital and emergency rooms overburdened with patients up there, I felt that it was easy to get lost in and forget the humanism that is often needed in medicine. Later. So Ella, if I have to ask you, have you ever felt personally dismissed or discriminated against in the healthcare system?
I'm very fortunate to say that I don't think I've felt that to a strong degree. There are certainly some interactions where I felt that, you know, my knowledge wasn't really regarded, that my opinion wasn't strongly considered for making certain healthcare decisions for myself. But this has been late, you know, more recently, where at a point now that I can see that, I can pick up on that, but I also have the ability to still make my position understood and known and voice my concerns and my opinions so that they can also better understand where I'm coming from as a patient, and to remember to consider that, you know, I'm not afraid to say, you know what, like, I understand, but these are my thoughts on it, and to then make a collaborative decision together for my care. So, yes, that I have certainly in some situations experienced that, you know, in just the way that I have been talked to, and the way that, you know, decisions are assumed that they are going to be made that way, without really my thought or my opinions really taken into consideration. But as I said, I think that, you know, having all of these experiences over time has really built my ability to effectively communicate my perspective and not be afraid of, you know, that is the way it works. It's a collaborative agreement and decision, and both sides are equally important. And obviously, you know, it's important to not disregard the care and the opinions that, and the recommendations that come from our healthcare providers. But having this collaboration is so important.
Absolutely. And my next question for you, Ella, is that we've spoken about what providers can do and how we can probably shift the healthcare system to be more humanizing and actually treat people as humans instead of diagnoses or patients without any identity. So what can patients do to ensure that they receive better healthcare and that they feel heard, respected, and understood in a way that they can freely communicate with their providers?
I think it's really important to always remember that we understand our bodies more than anybody else. And that lived experience is much more valuable than we might think. Especially for those, you know, who aren't familiar with, you know, communicating much with their physicians, or always kind of taking the, you know, like, oh, my doctor said this, so I must do this, and that's all I really know. You know, don't be, it's to remember that because we have this knowledge about our disease, and it is so valuable for us to communicate this with our healthcare teams, that they do want to hear it from us. They do, it improves their job too, when we are more knowledgeable about our treatments, about our disease, that we can provide feedback to them that they can use to make better decisions or better suggestions for us. So, you know, I think it would be just to remember this, and then don't be afraid to ask the questions when you don't understand something, to voice your concerns and opinions, and remember that it is a collaboration, two working together, both sides equally important. And I would say that's probably the number one thing. And remember that our health, your health, is the most important thing. That without it, you know, we can't really do much, and it's very difficult for us to navigate life without having our health. And so remember that it is a priority. It's a priority for you, for me, to learn more about it, to be inquisitive, to want to be the most informed we can be to make the best decisions we can, make the best informed decisions. So I think that that's like a responsibility on us as patients to not, you know, stay in the dark, and to not like just let things happen, let decisions be made for us, you know, be a passive participant in our care. So I'd say those are the two most important things.
And although this is going to be a loaded question, Ella, there's a lot of things that need to be done to improve the healthcare system. In your view or your opinion, what is the one thing that can be done to improve the healthcare system?
The most important is something I think I already kind of touched on, but it's to remember that we are all working for the good of people's health, and keeping that the top priority. So whether that is a pharmaceutical company who is creating a drug, and of course they're going to be making money off of it, but remember ultimately who's benefiting from this and why, and why that matters. And so that, you know, and all different stakeholders have a different perspective on what they need to keep in mind, and what is the most important. But if we all remember that, that improving the health of our people, of helping us to live longer, to be have more better quality of life in our lives for all of us, that's what's going to keep healthcare moving forward. It's going to keep research advancements moving forward. It will help, you know, physicians remember to have more compassion and empathy, and to be more collaborative with their patients. It's going to help patients to take more of a initiative for their, you know, for their own health, and to step up to the plate and care more and be more involved. So, I would say that is the way that is the ultimate way that we are going to. It's the why, you know. It really boils down to why are you doing something. That should be the why.
How you brought in about the why, because it does come down to that. The benefit of everything that we're doing is for one cause, and that is improving healthcare. So we need to, in any angle, whether that be advocating for policies to change or looking into research for drugs or amplifying patients' voices or treating the treatment, ensuring that we can put in improvements in the healthcare system, I think each of these is extremely important. And for the last question that I have for you, Ella, is if there is anyone that is too afraid to share their story or their story with the diagnosis and the lived experience that comes with it, what would you say to them?
If for somebody that's too scared to share their lived experience, to remember that they matter and that physicians, researchers, the healthcare community wants to hear it. They want to know, they want to care about your story, about your experiences, because it directly contributes to their ability to provide better care. Because when they understand your experiences, they can tailor their treatments. They can, you know, based on this feedback from you, they can, you know, make better decisions together with you if they understand what you're dealing with, what your pain points are, what are your hurdles in life that are preventing you from, you know, improving your care in certain ways. You know, what are these things that are barriers that they can help with, that they can lighten some of that load if they understand what it is. So I think remembering that people that are that those in healthcare, they want to help, they want to serve, they want to make your life better as a patient. So trust that and remember that that collaboration is important. So be a part of it. Don't be passive, and remember that you're important.
Absolutely, Ella. And I also feel that even patients sharing their stories can even inspire other patients and empower them to share their own story. And in that way, I feel storytelling becomes so powerful because you take ownership of your story, of the way that you've experienced things, and that kind of shapes you in a way that can be very beautiful and be an eye-opener for those who probably never knew about the disease, or those who live with the same disease, or those that just want to resonate and share the same experiences, whether that be with the disease or maybe symptoms or even life in general. And I feel that creates a community that can bring a lot of value emotionally and personally to the patients. And so, Ella, I just want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for coming on to the PureMed podcast, for sharing your opinions and your views and your insight. I think you're a wonderful patient advocate who's doing incredible work mediating and working with different companies and pharmaceuticals and patients and being a voice that is very much needed. And so I just want to add that we hope that the Behind Diagnoses Patient Special Series sheds light on the importance of listening to patient voices, and that over time, with patients such as yourself, it will increase patient safety, health and innovation, and transform care delivery in the clinic and beyond. So thank you, Ella, so much for everything that you do on a day-to-day basis and for being an advocate for change.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'd like to thank our sponsors, Hashtag Rising Youth, the Government of Canada, Canada Service Corps, and Taking It Global for supporting and funding the project. I'd also like to thank the incredible individuals, voices, and patients who appear on the series, and whose stories will guide medical education, clinical practice, and healthcare innovation. Listen in and listen now to the Behind Diagnoses Patient Special Series on the PureMed podcast to ensure change for a better world. Catch us on the next episode in conversation with another incredible patient advocate. And if you need more information, do not hesitate to email us at puremedfoundation@gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in. Stay safe, stay healthy.